Hi, this is Bob Papa, voice of the New York Football Giants, and this is the Big Blue UK and Ireland podcast. Go get them, guys.
We have got through everyone we brought in from external teams. Now we're going to look at who we've re-signed. First up, Gunner. Not surprised we brought him back. It was sort of a little bit of a revelation when he came into the team last year. Versatile wide receiver and returner. He's back with the team after he brought stability to the return game in 2023. We're all massive fans of the move, especially as it reflects sort of the team's commitment to addressing that punt return position, which had been pretty horrific until he arrived last season. He returned 23 punts for 282 yards and that beautiful long touchdown in week 17 against the Rams. Next up, Casey Kreiter, friend of the pod, who was the first Giants re-sign. He'll get a fifth season with the team since his arrival prior to the 2020 season. He's appeared in all 37 games. And he's coming off the back of an event-free season that saw a record career high in tackles. And then in a move that nobody saw coming, or not very few people saw coming, we've re-signed inside linebacker Carter Coughlin to a one-year deal, despite him posting what seemed to be a farewell statement on social media just after the end of the 2023 season. So that was a little bit of a surprise to see him come back. Originally drafted in the seventh round in 2020, he was at the University of Minnesota. He's contributed in 55 games over his first four seasons, recording 41 tackles, one sack, two tackles for loss, and a fumble recovery. But he's excelled primarily on special teams, leading the team in snaps and tackles on special teams in the last two seasons in total. Shane, who else is sticking around?
Yes, two. Almost round things out completely. The Giants have re-signed Benton Whitley, Lawrence Cage and Nick McLeod. McLeod was a restricted free agent. He was given a one-year $2.99 million deal and adds some much-needed depth to the cornerback room. As alluded to by Kev earlier as well, the other tight end back is Cage. He appeared in 11 games last season with four catches for 36 yards and a touchdown. And then finally, Whitley had a fumble recovery and a pass deflection in three games last season. He's also back.
And then we had the shocking news just before we came on the pod. A massive return for big play Darnay Holmes, who has returned to the Giants on a one-year deal. He's appeared in 16 games in 2023, predominantly on special teams, but filling in at corner on over 100 snaps. Drafted in the fourth round out of UCLA in 2020, he returns to New York for his fifth season, adding much-needed depth in the secondary and on special teams. With the Giants not really, looking at any veteran cornerbacks, I guess it's probably just an insurance policy, depending on the White visit that's due to happen tomorrow, I believe that is, Tre'Darius White. I think, Kev, you posted that in the chat earlier today or yesterday. So, to be honest, the depth at slot cornerback is not great. Flott is pretty much the only one that's there. So as much as we might take the mickey out of big play Darnay for his tendency for penalties and sideline massages that go viral, he's a body that's needed at the moment.
Yeah, very much so.
Did you all forget about the sideline massage?
Oh no. When I loaded up Twitter earlier, or X, or whatever you want to call it, the first tweet I came across was the fact that we'd re-signed Darnay Holmes, and there is the video of him receiving a massage on the sideline. So, yeah, not surprised. But I mean, there's got to be better options out there than Darnay Holmes, but you know, it's adding that depth, that sort of insurance to that position where we don't really have much in the way of depth at the moment. So, you know, and he's done fairly well on special teams over the last couple of seasons. I know Holtie, we re-signed him. What's going on with that? You know, there's got to be better options out there, but for now, he's back with the team. So there we go. Out of those seven that we've re-signed, I think there's probably only going to be a couple that really sort of have much of an impact in 2024. But who out of those seven do you think will have the biggest impact, Kev?
Who out of those seven do I think will have the biggest impact? I think McLeod. I like this re-signing of him. I think he's one of those players that can play. He started snaps. He started games on the outside cornerback and played okay. But he really excels sort of in closer to the action, in this more sort of like nickel position, safety position. I think there's a potential to be a starter in this league, but he'll definitely contribute in stepping in for people. But also, he is an absolute demon in the special teams. So I'm very glad to see him back. Oh, and he went to Notre Dame.
got gosh, another Homer pick there. Shane, who's the biggest impact out of those seven?
Before I answer this question, are one of you guys all eyeing up teching Gunnar? Because if you am, I've got a different person I was going to tech.
I'll eye up Gunnar just because I'm scouting through and I'm intrigued to know who you're going to take as the secondary now. So I'll be selfish.
Yeah, so I'm going to go for Carter Coughlin. Just for his specialty play more than anything else. I think, obviously, him and Cam Brown, they didn't add much to the roster in terms of, like, you know, defensive starters, but they were two very good special teams players. And I'm pleased that we've brought at least one of them back. And, you know, I just think that special teams can sometimes be overlooked. And I know it's not going to win your games as such. You know, you've got your offense and your defense, and that's what you expect to win games. But special teams set you up to win games. So I'll just go on someone, like a bit of a dark horse, and I'll go for Carter Coughlin.
Yeah, I mean, Gunner was probably going to be my pick. So, looking at that, it does continue that kind of special teams focus. And there are three phases to the game, and we've neglected one phase for way too long. Way, way, way too long. We've got a new coordinator now. So Thomas McGair, he's gone. I think it will be a big improvement, hopefully, this season. And let's hope that it's not special teams that sort of fault for the decimation of the Giants' 2024 season early on in week one.
Yeah, let's hope not.
I actually have a follow-up question.
Go on.
Thoughts for the three of you on the fact that the Giants have not re-signed Isaiah Hodgins? Go on, Dan.
I am kind of surprised we haven't re-signed Isaiah Hodgins, in all honesty. I think when he came in at the back end of 22, he was a big target for Daniel Jones. Obviously, last season with our issues at quarterback, I'm not surprised he didn't get a huge amount of targets last season, but he's a decent receiver. So I'm quite surprised we haven't brought him back as of yet. You know, does it speak volumes for what we're looking at potentially going to do in the draft? Maybe. But he's a decent receiver. So, yeah, I'm kind of surprised he's not back.
Shane?
I think I'm just going to put it down to the fact that it's a cost issue. Maybe we've spoke to him and sort of says about taking a cheaper deal. He's turned around and said, not something I'm looking to do, kind of thing. And I suppose when you look at, obviously we brought, because I think it was him and Nick McLeod that were, untenured or something, untenured free agents?
Restricted free agents. So I think the tender on both of those deals was $3 million.
Yeah, and I think it's a case of, like, you know, money's a little bit tight. And in my personal opinion, what would I rather have brought back, a cornerback or a wide receiver? I'd have to go cornerback, in all honesty. I think that there's holes at both, but there's a gaping hole at cornerback. And, you know, you're going to imagine we're going to look at taking a wide receiver in the first two rounds anyway. So that's how we'd be replacing Hodgins. I like him. I'd be happy if he came back on a cheaper contract. But, you know, if it was down to him or McLeod at $3 million a year, I think they've made the right decision.
I'll let you continue, Kev.
Yeah, so I was surprised, but not overly shocked. I mean, $3 million, they probably said, okay, it's a bit rich for us. Do you want to come back in a two-year deal, $4 million over 2 years type thing? He probably said, no, I want to test the market. And they've let him go out and test the market. And so could he come back? I mean, just looking at the wide receiver core now, there's no depth there. But you'd have to say Slayton's in front of him, Robinson's in front of him, Hyatt's in front of him, whoever we draft at round one or round two is going to be in front of him. And maybe he didn't want to be like a fifth receiver. Maybe he wanted to try and get himself into number two, number three position. So, you know, fair play to him. Would I have him back? Of course I would, because I think he's a very, very solid player. I think he was hindered by the QB injury, offensive line play last year, like a lot of players were.
You know, Kev, I genuinely thought you were going to say who we take at receiver at six then.
Yeah, well, that's who we're going receiver, lads. Daniel Jones, QB number one.
Spoiler. Maybe.
Good job Shane's on mute.
It's very true. But I think overall that the players we brought back have, I'm not surprised. The only one that big sort of did surprise me a bit was Darnay Holmes. But overall, not too bad. Unfortunately, that is all we've got time for this evening. We will be back next Wednesday, same time, same place, as we return to looking at this year's top draft prospects, this time focusing on the defensive line. Plus, we'll reveal our plans for draft night on April 25th. And trust us, it's going to be a big one. So make sure you tune in for that. Anything else to add before we go, guys?
No, just, you know, it was a good kind of getting everything out of the way that's kind of happened over the last week. Hopefully there's going to be some players or one particular player that we will never speak about anytime soon. And, you know, Dan, just want to say, been brilliant having you on as a guest tonight, and hopefully you can come back for a future episode.
Wow, okay. Yeah, no, it's been brilliant to get all four of us back again. Really, really enjoyed that podcast. It does kind of feel like we've kind of got some business out of the way, and now it's like fun time. Now we crack on with more draft stuff, talk about the odd player that might come in, and really start to wonder where we will be post-draft and what this team will look like. So it's all good. Looking forward to the off-season. Let's get it.
Yeah, massive thank you to everyone who's got involved in the comments. A couple of new faces as well tonight in Jack, who followed us along on X, and also Carl, who followed on X. It's good to see that the sort of Twitterverse is starting to pick up on these live streams. Obviously, feel free to carry on Twitter or get yourself across to YouTube and get involved on there. Almost the end of March, giving us T-minus 1 month until we all meet up again face-to-face and the next biggest thing after free agency.
Yeah, man, not long. It'll be here before we know it. Thanks for having me on this evening, guys. It's been nice to be a guest. I'm joking. It's good to be back. Been a great episode. Enjoyed getting back into the swing of it. I will be back in next week, so never you worry about that. As I said at the top as well, check out all of our social platforms and our merch store by following the links in the description. Give this episode a like and a share on your platform of choice. It is great to be back. Obviously, I had a month off. Now I'm back in, ready for the ramp up to the draft. Judas, you're dead to me. My thanks as ever go to Shane, to Kev, to Craig for joining me, to the viewers and listeners for tuning in. We're signing off. Until next time, let's go Giants.